I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the Lord's Day. Now, let me explain very briefly how we get to that. The passage we have read, of course, leads on to the idea of the Sabbath. Now, although the word Sabbath is not in this passage, the Hebrew word for rested, which is twice in this passage, has the root Sabbath. The word Sabbath comes from the root that is in that word rested. But also, you know, when you turn to the Ten Commandments, when you turn to Exodus in chapter 20, where God first gave his people the tenth commandment, and you remember what he says about the seventh day. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he gives the reason for it. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So when God gave the law regarding the Sabbath, he refers to this passage and he says, the reason why God did all this was to give us a pattern. I wonder if you've ever thought of it like this. Why did God create the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rest on the seventh? I mean, God could have created the heavens and the earth in a microsecond. God is able to do anything. So God could have said, let it be, and everything, all the planets, all the stars, the earth, human life, animal life, plant life, bird life, marine life, everything could have been created just like that. God can do it. But God deliberately chose to create the heavens and the earth over a specific period of time. He chose to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. And when he gave the law, he said, this is the reason I did it. I did it as a pattern for you. I want you to follow this pattern. So in the Old Testament, we have the Sabbath. Now when we turn to the New Testament, we find that the church didn't meet on the seventh day, but the church met on the first day. We have two passages where we read of this. There's a passage in the book of Acts where we read about the church at Troas. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul went to Troas, and it says, on the first day, the church gathered for the breaking of bread. And Paul preached to them. We also have a passage in 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul is giving instruction to the church in Corinth about taking up an offering so that they may help those Christians who are in need. And Paul says to them, when you gather on the first day, bring your offerings, he says, so that an offering may be taken and then sent to Christians in need. And when we read what we call the early church fathers, now these are the people who came after the time of the apostles. The apostles were roughly the first 100 years. That's the apostolic period. And then after that, we have what we call the early church and the early church fathers. And a number of them wrote about Christian meetings. Because Christians were being slandered. Their enemies were saying, when Christians gather, they get up to all kind of immoral behavior. And so some of these theologians from the early church wrote to say, we want to explain to you what we do when we gather. And they all invariably mentioned this, we gather on the first day. And they called it the Lord's Day. That is from the Bible as well. That is from the book of Revelation. The Apostle John, in exile on the island of Patmos, says, on the Lord's day, there he was in Patmos, and he saw the risen Lord Jesus and fell on his face as if dead. So we have this teaching in the Bible that the Old Testament Jews had the Sabbath, but the New Testament church began to meet on the first day of the week, probably because the Lord rose on the first day of the week, and they wanted to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But they met on the first day of the week, and they called it the Lord's Day. Now, I want to give some teaching on the Lord's Day today, because it is a biblical topic, and it's an important topic. And what I'm going to do, while I'm speaking about the Lord's Day, I will refer to the Sabbath, because the Sabbath has things to teach us. I'm not saying that we observe Saturday. The early church didn't. Christians don't. And I'm not saying we become Sabbatarians in the sense of the Jews who had all those rules about sneezing on grass and so on. And we're not going to go into that. But there are certain things about the Sabbath in the Bible. We're not talking about rules that the Jews made up. There are teachings in the Bible about the Sabbath that we need to take hold of, and we need to apply those principles to the Lord's Day. So then, what does the Bible teach about the Lord's Day? Well, there are four things I want to teach you this morning about the Lord's Day. Four things. And the first is this. The Lord's Day is a gracious gift from God. It is a gracious gift from God. I think it's such a great shame that we see the Lord's Day negatively. I think a lot of Christians see it negatively. I think when we think about the Lord's Day, we immediately think what we mustn't do. What are the rules to keep the Lord's Day? What are the things that I mustn't do? And in a sense, this kind of idea begins to come in that God is out there to spoil my fun. I would like to enjoy the Lord's Day or Sunday. I would like to enjoy things and I would like to have fun on it. But God insists that I observe the Lord's Day. And God stands there as this rule giver and says, you're not going to have fun. You're going to worship on the Lord's Day. You're going to observe the Lord's Day. It's a kind of a harsh rule maker who is there to deny us pleasures and joy. Can I tell you, that is absolutely false. If you've grown up in a Christian home, and you've grown up with all kinds of ideas, views and teachings about the Lord's Day that are negative, 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 can I say to you, turn from that, because the Bible's teaching on the Lord's Day isn't negative. When we read this passage, it says that the Lord blessed the seventh day. And the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now, let me give you an illustration. Imagine a person comes into your house, and they spend a few hours, and you spend time in fellowship, and they notice that you don't have a microwave. I think we all have microwaves here. But let's imagine that they notice you don't have a microwave. And they look at the way that you cook things and so on, and they think, do you know, this person could really, really benefit from a microwave. If they had a microwave, they would find life so much easier, so much better. And so they go to great trouble to look for a microwave. They know the kind of size and the use you will make of it and the layout of your kitchen and the color scheme and so on. And they go to great length to find just the right microwave for you. And they buy it for you as a gift. And they bring it round and they say, I notice how things are with you. Look, here's a gift, a microwave. And a few weeks later, they come around again to visit. And they walk into the kitchen, and there, in the box, never opened, is the microwave. And they say, well, did you not? Oh, I don't think I need it, you know. I've just left it there. Do you know, friends, the Lord's Day is a gift that God has given us. It is for our good. Can I say this to you? And I mean this most sincerely. If you use the Lord's Day correctly, your life will be infinitely enriched and blessed. It is a day of blessing. And it is intended that God should bless us on this day. There are specific blessings on the Lord's Day because we gather together. I mean, the Lord blesses us every day. We know that. We know that tomorrow, Monday, is going to be a day of blessing. We know that. We know that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because God is so gracious. He blesses us daily. We know that. But isn't it true that when we gather together, when we're in fellowship with God's people, when we're singing praises, when we're talking to each other, is there not a special blessing here? Is there not something wonderful about God's people gathering? Do you know, I'm very dismayed because I'm going on holiday and tomorrow there's going to be another church gathering at Alan and Sue's house. And I mean this very sincerely. I wish I had been there because I love these gatherings. So the Lord's Day is a gift. It is a gracious gift. And we need to be careful that we use it correctly. Not just leave it in that box like that microwave and say, yeah, somebody gave me a gift, but I don't think I need it. The Lord is wise and He's gracious and He's our Father and He has given us a day for our benefit. And we will benefit richly if we use the Lord's Day correctly. So that's the first thing I want to say about the Lord's Day, that it is a gracious gift from God. The second thing I want to say is this, that the Lord's Day is a day of rest. And this is from the Ten Commandments and their rules about the Sabbath. Now remember what I said, that we're not in the Sabbath, but we use these principles of the Sabbath in order to see how we keep the Lord's Day. And this is what God said to the people of Israel. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now let me ask you this. Why do you think God gave this law? Is it because He was wanting to rob the Israelites of fun and joy and happiness? And He's saying, you mustn't have pleasure. I'm going to command you to keep the Sabbath. Was that the reason? Well, it isn't. It's because our human bodies need regular rest. Do you know, when you look at history, I don't mean church history, I mean secular history. There have been various periods, this is very interesting, there have been various periods in history when a nation has tried to move away from a 7-day week. Incidentally, most nations of the world have a 7-day week. But there were times when a nation would try and move away from it. I think the most famous example is the French Revolution in 1789. You know that the French Revolution was anti-religion. The French were fanatic, anti-Christian. They hated the church. They hated the Bible. They hated Christianity. And the whole French Revolution had this great motto, we don't want the Bible, we don't want God, we don't want anything to do with Him. And so in the French Revolution, the rulers, the leaders of the French Revolution created a 10-day period. And they say, we work 9 days and we take 1 day off. Because 7 days is biblical, we want nothing to do with the Bible, we're going to have a 10-day period. And it is on record that the amount of physical illness, the amount of mental illness, rose significantly They thought that output in our farms would increase because people are now working 9 days rather than 6 days before they take a break. So output from our farms will increase. Actually, output from the farms declined because so many people went off sick. And they weren't being lazy or anything like that. They genuinely were sick. And so the leaders of the French Revolution were forced to come back to a 7 day week, 6 days of work and 1 day rest. God has created our bodies, and God has created our bodies in a certain way that after 6 days of work, the body needs to recharge physically and emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. The body needs to recharge. It's like the people who made my car. And when I bought my car, they say, every so often you must have it serviced. You must take it to the garage. Because if you don't, your car eventually will just break down completely because you haven't changed the oil and all. I mean, I know nothing about cars, but I guess they do the things that keep the car functioning and keep it moving efficiently so that it takes me from A to B. If you don't have your car serviced, your car breaks down. And the human body was created by God in a certain way. And we are to, yes, work 6 days, but take a break on that seventh day. I was reading a very, very interesting article on the internet. I wish I could remember who'd written it. I do know the man wasn't a Christian. But this man wrote an article about the increase of mental illness in Britain. And he was looking at the reasons for this. And he said, one thing you notice is that families don't just spend time together doing nothing. That was a phrase he used. He said, you notice in Britain today, families rarely spend time just doing nothing, just sitting together, having a cup of tea, just being with each other. He said, in our country, that doesn't happen today. Every day, we're either shopping, or we're going to sports, or we're doing all manner of other things. There's always activity, activity, activity. Now, he's not a Christian, this man, but he said, I wonder if the increase in mental illness in our country is something to do with this. And I wonder if... Now, I don't think he was aware what the Bible says, but he said, I wonder if 1 day a week we just did nothing, but families just rested. You know, just stayed together, enjoyed each other's company, talked with each other, but just rested. Well, there haven't been studies done on the increase in mental illness in our country, but there's no question there has been an increase, and I wouldn't be surprised if, because the Lord's Day is no longer honored, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a contributory factor. So the Bible's teaching is that the Lord's Day is a day of rest, and I commend this to you. Take a rest from your labors. The third thing that the Bible teaches us is that the Lord's Day is a day of worship. I'm again using the Bible's teaching on the Sabbath and using those principles on what we are to do on the Lord's Day. And this is what Deuteronomy chapter 5 says. This is the second time that the law was given. And when God gave the law the second time in Deuteronomy, he said this, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Isn't that interesting? That the Jews were commanded in the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy, that there was this command to remember that they were slaves in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord God had brought them out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And so he said, therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So yes, we are to rest, But there's also this command that we are to worship. Now, the Israelites were slaves of the Egyptians. And God sent Moses, and he released the Israelites from slavery to the Egyptians. We were slaves of sin, and God sent the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus has redeemed us from slavery to sin and Satan. And Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. The Lord Jesus leads us through our daily Christian life to the promised land. The point I'm making is, our redemption is so much greater, isn't it? You know, the redemption of the Israelites from Egypt was a type. It was a historical event to teach us about our salvation. And when we read about the Israelites in Egypt, I mean, Paul refers to this in 1 Corinthians, doesn't he? And he speaks about how all of this is a type for today. And he says, just as they were slaves, so we are slaves. Just as they were redeemed, so we are redeemed. And just as they had a redeemer, we have a redeemer. But ours is so much greater. It is slavery to sin. It is Christ the Redeemer. It is redemption from sin and Satan. There is this greatness about our salvation. You see where I'm going with this. If the Israelites were to worship the Lord on the Sabbath because he had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt, how much more God's people on the Lord's day, because he has redeemed us from slavery to sin and to Satan? How much more should we worship him on the Lord's day, because he has sent his son, not Moses, but the Lord Jesus? How much more we should worship him on the Lord's day, because we have been redeemed from slavery to this kingdom of darkness, brought out of that kingdom into his kingdom, and made his beloved children. So when we gather today, we gather today as his beloved children, those whom he loves. The blessings we enjoy are so much greater than the blessings that the Israelites enjoyed from redemption to the Egyptians. Well, surely, if they had this command to remember that they were slaves in the land of Egypt, surely on the Lord's day, we are to remember that we were slaves of sin. And the Lord God brought us out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Surely that's a duty that falls upon us. So the Lord's day is to be a day of worship. It is a day when God's people gather. It is a day when we sing praises to him for our salvation and for his greatness. It is a day when we are to read the scriptures, and we are to read about Christ, and we are to read about how Christ in grace and mercy died for us, took our sins upon himself, redeemed us from slavery to sin, and brought us into his kingdom. And we are to offer worship to him. I say this again, if you use the Lord's day correctly, use it as a day of rest, your life will be enriched, because you will benefit spiritually and physically. And use the Lord's day as a day of worship. And isn't it refreshing? Don't you find this a joyful exercise, a refreshing exercise, to come together as God's people? And we fellowship with each other, and we sing praises to the Lord. It's a lovely thing to do. And it is a gift from God. Those who are in work, by and large, their employers give them the day off, the weekend off. You see, we don't have to work on a Sunday. I know there are some people who have to, I accept that. But most don't. And we don't have to go shopping on Sunday. We don't have to do all these other activities on a Sunday. Surely it's a day we are to use for the worship of our God. So the Lord's Day is a gracious gift from God. The Lord's Day is a day of rest. The Lord's Day is a day of worship. And then fourthly and finally, the Lord's Day is to be a day of delight and joy. I've already touched on this, but because it's such a big point in the Bible, I wanted to make it as a separate point. There's a passage in Isaiah where God speaks to the people of Israel about the Lord's Day. And this is in Isaiah chapter 58. And this is what it says. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. You see what he's saying? Now, you remember when the prophet Isaiah was ministering, and we have a lot of detail, particularly in chapter 1. And we know from that chapter 1 that the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah had gone into what we call formal worship, outward worship, worship that was just outwardly done. They would go to the temple and they would sing the psalms and they would take an animal as a sacrifice. And they would do everything that the command had asked them to do, that the law had asked them to do. But their hearts were not in it. When they sang the psalms, they weren't looking at the words of the psalms and their hearts weren't rejoicing in the words of the psalms. They were thinking about their work, their money, their house, their family. Their minds were elsewhere. It was all outward. It was all formal worship. Now, God hates formal worship. God hates that sort of thing. That's why he speaks to the people in the days of Isaiah. And God says to them, he says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, he says, I will not accept your prayer. He says, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Because God hates this kind of outward formal worship. Later in Isaiah, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're not worshiping me with their hearts. So yes, they were keeping the Sabbath, but it was all just outwardly. And in this passage in 58, God speaks to them. And God says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, then, he says, you will find your joy in the Lord. That's why I began by saying, if you keep the Lord's day in a way that honors him, your life will be enriched. You will not lose out. You will actually win. I know we immediately think, well, if I keep the Lord's day, I might lose out on this, I might lose out on that, this might happen, that might happen. But the Lord says, you will have joy. I will bless you with joy, he says. Call the Sabbath a delight. Delight in it. And can I say this to you? Why don't we make it a matter of prayer? In your own home, make it a matter of prayer that public worship isn't just a duty. That you don't just come on the Sunday because it's Sunday, we've always gone to church, it's our duty to go, so we will go. But why not say to the Lord, I want to go to church because I want to delight in it. I want to go to church because I find joy. My heart, I wake up in the morning on Sunday and my heart says, I must go because God's people are there and we're going to meet with the Lord. And together as a group of God's people, we're going to sing to the Lord and worship the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. It's going to be a joyful exercise, a delightful time. Pray that the Lord gives you joy in the Lord's day. He will. And he will bless you. So that we use the Lord's day correctly. It is, friends, a gracious, gracious gift from God. God had every intention to bless us when He gave us this day. And it's such a shame when the Jews had all these rules, and Christians sometimes make rules, and I think we turn it into a negative thing. But it is a gracious gift from God. So we are to use it as a day of rest. We are to use it as a day of worship. And we are to make sure it is a day of delight and joy.